Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey y'all, what's up? It's your girl Jess Hilarious, and I'm here to tell y'all I got my own podcast called Carefully Reckless on the Black Effect Network. I'm going to be telling y'all all my business and definitely telling you other people's business too. It'll be respectful and messy at the same time. So make sure you tune in because y'all know me. Listen to Carefully Reckless on January 20th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
Impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Hello and welcome into In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. You can find me on the Twitter, at Bogman Sports. No Welch today. He is celebrating the holiday. What a jerk. He's taking his kids and family to see some actual snow. Because we live in Phoenix, he has to drive north. I think they're going to Flagstaff, maybe towards the Grand Canyon. It snowed at the Grand Canyon on Christmas. It was pretty cool to see. But that is where he is. So it's the middle of the college football bowl season. So I figured I'd bring my friendo, Nicholas Ian Allen, the owner and proprietor of CFB Winning Edge, in here to talk about these bowl games, specifically the playoff games that are going to be airing today as you're listening to this. So, Nick, how's it going, man? How was your Christmas?
Doing well. It was fun. Pretty laid back for me. Was able to see some family earlier in the month, and that just sort of left it just my wife and I for Christmas Day, which was fairly pain-free, I'd say. Didn't have to travel. That was nice. And yeah, snow is no big thing for me. Here in New Hampshire, we've been under quite a bit already this year. So don't have to go out of my way to see it.
I was about to complain about it being cold in Phoenix because the last couple of days, it's been rainy and gloomy. And then I thought, man, rainy on Christmas is like, if it just dropped a couple degrees, we'd have a white Christmas. But, you know, for me, it's cold today and it's 61 degrees outside. So that's a warm summer day for you.
I was going to say, for me, it's the last few days have actually been pretty warm and sunny. We're currently at 35. So above freezing. I mean, you know, you don't even really need a very heavy jacket.
I can't even imagine. I've never lived in a climate like that ever in my life. So, I lived in Houston, was colder than it is here, where I lived till I was 10 or 11. And that was, you know, what it would do in Houston is it would rain and then it would freeze overnight.
So like branches would fall on cars and hit power lines and stuff like that. So we had that kind of stuff, but it doesn't, I mean, that's happened in Phoenix, but not very often. And there's not nearly as many trees in Phoenix as there are in Houston either. So I've never had to deal, never driven in the snow, never driven on ice, never had to worry about black ice or any of that stuff. So it's been pretty smooth sailing. I mean, the summers are brutal, which I complain to you nonstop. Well, when that happens, when it's, you know, 117 degrees for a week straight and stuff like that. But winter, it's perfect. That's why we get all the snowbirds in Arizona, though, is what we call them, is people moving down from your neck of the woods. They're summering up there and then they're wintering in Phoenix, which, if you can afford it, is absolutely the way to go. But enough about weather stuff. We want to talk about some of these bowl games. But before we get into that, you have a fantastic product in CFB Winning Edge. It's a great product. And we have a lot of bettors listening to the Sports Grid and FNTSY Radio. I help you host a show for CFB Winning Edge once a week as well. So I just want you to kind of explain what CFB Winning Edge is to all of the uninitiated.
Yeah, absolutely. And certainly happy to be here with you. And thanks for helping me host that, because if you weren't there, I would just drone on for, just on and on about numbers and what, you know, all this sort of stuff. So basically what I did a couple of years ago was try to think of a way, one, to keep myself busy. I'm fortunate enough that I don't actually have a real job, and needed something to do during the day, and college football has always been my favorite sport, and I think that there is some opportunity in the college football market, so to speak, for improvement and in some of the ways that people project games and things like that. So I just started tinkering with some things, started building out rosters for each team, and thought, you know, it really, to my knowledge, at least something that's not really publicly available as an individual player rating for, you know, all FBS players. And we don't have that anymore, really, with the now that the video game is gone. And so I kind of took that really as my starting point, was the video game, and thought, hey, you know, maybe there's something to this. I can go down to the individual player level, and that might give me, a little bit of an edge over somebody that does from the top down as far as their, you know, power ratings and all that sort of stuff. So I wanted to try a different approach from the bottom up, and did that building player ratings. And I tried to incorporate players overall talent projection, and then adjust for experience and career production. And to be honest, you know, about to be the third year. I really was just sort of making it up as I went along, and didn't have a end goal in mind. But as I was filling it out, you know, had 130 different teams, and was able to play with some things, different weights on how it was all going to come together to give me a clear picture of the strength of each team. So started with the player ratings, but then I do have a coaching background, and so I know that talent isn't the only thing. Experience certainly isn't the only thing. Coaching has an impact. So I developed some head coach ratings as well that are analytically driven. Certain historical statistical factors go into those. I also incorporate a team performance rating, which are individual game grades based on the statistics from each game. And a lot of people do similar things to that, where, you know, you look and sort of dive deeper into the yards per play and all that sort of stuff, just different games, because sometimes the final score can be a bit misleading. So try to get more to, you know, how well did this team actually play regardless of whether they won or lost. And so took all those different factors, threw them into really several different equations, was doing a lot of sort of guess and check. Exactly. And was able to develop a set of power ratings that I call team strength. So that's our whenever I'm, you know, saying this is my number one team, that's what I'm referring to, those team strength power ratings. And was able to, again, do some more tinkering with those to develop projected point spreads. And so for every FBS versus FBS game, at this point, haven't gone into the FCS level yet, though. Maybe there's a future in that. I'm not sure.
Oh, no. Sounds like but, a lot of work.
It is. But for each FBS versus FBS game, I'm able to project a point spread, and then I do grade my projections against the Las Vegas point spreads. And that's what I release to patrons each week. We'll go through and use the Vegas Insider consensus line from fairly early in the week, try to get them up as early as possible if somebody is interested in, using what my numbers say for their own personal use later in the week. So do compare those, and we've had some success specifically in big games, which I'm really proud of, games where two ranked teams are playing or where a ranked team is playing a Power 5 opponent. And then we've also had a strong track record when our projected favorite differs from the Vegas odds makers. So it's been sort of a long, winding road, but have figured out a few things, learned a lot around the way, and have been very encouraged with some of the results that we've had, specifically in, like I said, those particular big games, big matchups, or where we think our numbers are maybe a little bit better in some ways than the odds makers. So excited about the past, and we've got some fun things planned for the future as well.
Nick is too humble. You know what I mean? I've always had to go back and forth with him. Like him saying, I think we're a little bit better than the normal rankings on the big time games should be for Nick. That's like rubbing it in everybody's face. Nick is too humble and too nice, and he needs to brag way more about his stuff. Do you have the record on those games, those big time games in front of you? Because that's usually the most impressive.
Yeah, so we have been, and unfortunately, at this point in the bowl season, our wrong team favored games are 0-2, which is a bit unfortunate.
Bowl games so far have been nuts. So
and last year we had an incredible bowl season. It was single-handedly the best performance we had, which makes me a little nervous that maybe we'll go the wrong direction this time. But before that 0-2, we were 35-28 when we thought there was a false favorite, when we thought that the wrong team was favored, which that works out to 55.6% against the spread, and that included 30 outright winners. And so that would be anybody that the odds makers had from, a half point favorite up to. There were a few where a team was, six and a half points an underdog, but we thought they should be favored. So I felt pretty good about that. If you went on a per unit how you would grade that.
Right.
Would come out pretty
whatever
well.
Your units are, right?
Exactly. And then so the ranked versus ranked, there have been 42 of those by our count. We're 24-18, so that's 57.1%. Feel pretty good about that. And then when a ranked opponent plays a Power 5 opponent, we're at 58%. We're 105-76-4, and actually that's I think we're 1-0 on those. So far, when Washington we had as a pretty heavy favorite over Boise State, who they were only 3.5 points according to the odds makers, and then we saw a pretty big edge in that one and won that one. So, those are the main three categories that we look for. Unfortunately, at this point, the grand scheme of things, we've hovered right around 500 when you talk at all 130 FBS teams. So have some more tinkering to do with like MAC games and Sun Belt and stuff like that, because we do use recruiting ratings as sort of the very first ingredient. We do a lot of things to it, do add a lot more, different layers on it. But by using those, I think those are a little more predictive at the Power 5 level, and that has been reflected in our numbers. So we got a little work to do to get those lower conference the G5 performance a little bit better. But overall, you know, have been encouraged and think we still have some room for improvement, which is exciting.
It's a great system. Like you said, just the, you know, moving along in the process and having more experience with it and all that stuff just makes it better each and every year. So we're going to talk a little bit about what's on the horizon for you in the off season as well. But let's talk about, because as this airs, I believe the Peach Bowl will probably be right around halftime, unless the podcast gets up early. Obviously, people are listening to this in the morning. So let's talk about this Peach Bowl, Nick. LSU versus Oklahoma. And the very first thing I want to ask you about this is there are a lot of teams that were in, you know, competition for this number four seed. Now, the way it breaks down, I think most people are thinking that Oklahoma was definitely the team that deserved this spot. Do you agree with that? Should they have definitely been ranked number four?
I do. And sort of the way it shook out, I don't think that there really was much of an argument to be made there at the end, just because, you know, Georgia lost. Had Georgia won, then there certainly would have been an argument that maybe Georgia should have gone over. If Utah had won, there would have been an argument that maybe Utah was more deserving. But I think the way it played out, Oklahoma was sort of the last team standing. And despite being fairly analytically driven and you know, I spend all day looking at numbers and all that sort of stuff. And there's a lot of people that do similar things who think, you know, the quote unquote best team needs to be in, you know, who are the four best teams. But I do believe that the college football playoff should go to the most deserving team.
Yes.
I mean, I think there's something to be said for, you know, as silly as it is, as arbitrary perhaps as you might think it is to win a conference championship, I do think that's important. I do think that's, you know, that's why we play the games. Games aren't played on spreadsheets as much as I wish sometimes maybe they were.
Make everybody's job way easier, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I do think that there's something that, you know, just me personally, I do think the schedule you're given, you have to perform to the best of your ability against that schedule. And if you win more games and win the championship that you're shooting for, a conference championship, whatever, and another team that might be quote unquote better but has more losses or didn't win that championship, I just, you know, it's not really. I don't side with the quote unquote best. I think most deserving.
Most deserving. Yeah, that is absolutely who should get it. And I'm 100% with you. You have to beat the teams in front of you. Look, you know, the number four team to me, I feel like might be a team like Wisconsin or maybe Alabama, you know, but Alabama didn't win the games in front of them. And Wisconsin had an ugly loss to Illinois, you know, a team that, yes, they're in a bowl game, but they barely made it. And, you know, they lost both times to Ohio State. That's three losses versus, you know, a one loss Oklahoma team. I think that we absolutely got the right team in here. And that, I mean, as I'm saying this, it hurts my soul to say I feel like we got the right team in, because I'm definitely like, there are some like the SEC people who just want SEC teams in. So you would think that maybe me being a Big 12 fan from, you know, Texas, I mean, look, Texas could move into any conference they want in any day of the week. So I don't really have that nonsense about, oh, well, I have to love the Big 12 because of the brand. I just think Oklahoma, and I was a critic of theirs going in because the schedule was so soft. But we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to break down this Peach Bowl. We're going to break down the Fiesta Bowl, talk about who we think is going in. Hour three, we're going to have Casey Bubba up to talk the NFL. So stick with us when we're talking about bowls here with Nick. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
It's no secret that our current healthcare system is broken. We're often taught to avoid the doctor unless we're already sick. This is where Forward comes in. Forward doctors deliver personalized insights to put you on the path to better health. And they're based right here in the San Francisco Bay Area. Forward doctors actually spend time listening and getting to know you. Using real-time blood results and genetic analysis, they build a preventative plan with you to mitigate any health risk. And the best part? Forward doctors make it easy by guiding you through small changes to your lifestyle today to achieve long-term results. With the latest technology and tools, Forward's high-caliber team of doctors deliver cutting-edge preventative care. Whether it's finding the root cause of a new problem, managing a condition, or building a plan to achieve your wellness goals, at Forward, your healthiest self is just around the corner. Better yet, Forward doctors help you find exactly what your genes say about your health. It's time to listen to what your body is telling you. Go to GoForward.com today to get the insights you need to put you on the path to better health. That's GoForward.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Welcome back. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm here with my friend Nicholas Ian Allen from CFB Winning Edge. If you haven't checked out their stuff, check out CFB Winning Edge on the Twitter at CFB Winning Edge. You can check out the Patreon, patreon.com/CFB Winning Edge, CFBWinningEdge.com. All the good stuff. We're talking bowl games here, and we got to break down this Peach Bowl, Nick. And LSU is playing Oklahoma. We talked about, did Oklahoma deserve to get in? Yes. So now that that's behind us, we can talk about the matchup here. And because your system at CFP Winning Edge goes through the team profiles and you have strength ratings at each positions, I wanted to kind of break this down position by position. So let's start out here at QB. You know, it's Oklahoma. It's Joe Burrow versus Jalen Hurts. It's two damn pretty good QBs here. So how do you split it up between these two? Is it relatively even? Does Burrow have the edge as a Heisman winner? But Jalen Hurts does everything for Oklahoma. So how do you break down the QBs?
Well, as far as the starters themselves go, the way we develop our player ratings, we do have a max rating of 100. So again, you know, thinking like the video game that tops out at 99, we go up one more and have 100. And both Joe Burrow and Jalen Hurts are max rated players. They're both a 100 rated player. So I would say on that, first of all, that they're even, but even, you know, moving beyond that and sort of the eye test, how does each look? I think it's pretty much even as well. And I wouldn't say that Burrow would get the edge because of the Heisman. I think he was certainly the best quarterback in college football this year and was certainly deserving of that award. But I think that Jalen Hurts was a very, very close number two. And then diving deeper, because our ratings do incorporate some depth, we of course grade the or have a higher weight on the starter. But as far as depth goes, when you're looking at that number two guy, if something were to happen here, which hopefully both these guys stay healthy, but if something were to happen, we give Oklahoma just the slightest of edges as the number one overall quarterback group in the country, and LSU is number two. But really, they're basically even.
What do you feel like Oklahoma relies on Jalen Hurts a little too much, and is that even a bad thing? Because, I mean, we see in the NFL, you know, obviously the Ravens relying all the way on Lamar Jackson more than any other team relies on their quarterback, and it seems to be working out for them.
Sure, it would be a little more concerning to me if we were having the same conversation a few weeks ago. During the course of the regular season, I think there is a little bit of concern if you're riding one guy too much, especially a running quarterback. But at this point, I mean, you know, that you got to go for broke. There's no reason to save him. The national championship is on the line. So, I would say only if he were to get hurt that, you know, yeah, we could look back and say, oh, well, maybe they were riding him too much. But he's, you know, one of the best weapons you've got. He's arguably the best running quarterback in the country. He's second in rushing yards among quarterbacks behind Malcolm Perry, who operates in a completely different system. And, you know, I think if that's a weapon at your disposal, you've got to use it to the best of your ability, especially in a playoff game with a chance to go to the national championship game on the line. So during the regular season, did they ride him too much? Maybe. But at this point, you got to go with your best guys, and he's the best guy.
Let's go over to running back, and this one is interesting because we have injuries on both sides. I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is still, as we're recording this, questionable for the game. We're not 100% sure if he's going to play. And on the OU side, Brooks was banged up a little bit, you know, and they lost. Stevenson was suspended. And Sermon, I think, is hurt too. So it's a bad situation for running back, even though Hurts is the main runner in that system. How do you see the running backs playing out between these teams?
Yeah, I think LSU has the edge, and especially if Edwards-Helaire is able to play, and like you said, last we've heard, he still hasn't practiced. So that is a concern. But even if he weren't able to play, LSU does have a lot of depth at this position. They've got more depth than Oklahoma does. And they've got a trio, really, of capable freshman running backs who are going to be guys they're going to count on in 2020. So, you know, guys like Tyron Davis Price and John Emery Jr., Chris Curry, those type guys have incredible ability. I mean, Emery, I'm surprised at this point that he, you know, when we were looking at it before the season started, I thought Emery by now would be the guy. I had no expectation that Edwards-Helaire was going to be able to do as well as he has, and he's developed into
he hadn't before, but the whole offense kind of, you know, obviously peaked this year, so I'm 100% with you on that.
Yeah, and you know, as far as a multi-purpose running back, I mean, he's been big in the pass game as well. He's been really hard to bring down. He's carried the load tremendously well at running back, so I've been incredibly impressed with him. But I you know, I was very excited about the guys a little farther down on the depth chart for LSU coming into the year. So I think that they can survive if Edwards-Helaire isn't able to play. I think that they still would be in a decent enough position. And Davis Price has been pretty impressive as well. He's actually moved ahead of Emory in a lot of ways in the pecking order. So I think LSU is going to be fine. Oklahoma, you know, does have the benefit of Hurts. I mean, he's one of the best running backs in the country, we could say. So that certainly does help. But yeah, Brooks, it seemed like he got a little nicked up in the championship game. And then, of course, you mentioned the suspensions as well. So Oklahoma just doesn't have the depth to rely on, but they've got some capable backups as well. So I think it's relatively even, but I'd give the slight edge to LSU.
I think the wide receivers are probably, I mean, obviously these are all tough to call. The offensive line is going to be tough as well, but wide receivers might be the toughest because I feel like the trio at LSU is probably better, but CeeDee Lamb is really, really good, but he has been nicked up a little bit this year as well. So how do you feel about the wide receiver matchup in this game?
Personally, I think CeeDee Lamb is the best receiver in the country. I've been so impressed, and he's been so fun to watch. So I think I would give him a slight edge, even though Ja'Marr Chase won the Biletnikoff. I think CeeDee Lamb probably is the best player on the field at this position, but LSU's depth is just incredible. I mean, Chase came on so strong as a sophomore. Justin Jefferson has been really, really good as well, and they've just got guys all the way down the list who can just step up and play. Oklahoma, I think Lamb is like I said, the you know, arguably the most talented receiver in the country, and they've got some depth there, but it's young guys and it's, you know, seniors that are sort of former walk-on type guys who just have, you know, been there and have made some plays but aren't necessarily guys that jump out on the film, so to speak. And so I think that LSU's depth here is just it gives them the edge for sure. But Lamb as an individual, I think, is arguably the best playmaker on the field.
The offensive lines here, I mean, a lot has always been made about both these teams' offensive lines. I mean, until Joe Burrow came around, this was always the best thing about LSU's offense was the line. They've always kind of had issues with quarterbacks until Burrow. Running backs, obviously, a lot of good ones have come out of LSU, the most recent being, of course, Leonard Fournette and Darius Geis. But I think it's a little bit more even this year because, you know, of course, credit has to go to Jalen Hurts, but who's paving that road for Jalen Hurts? It's that OU offensive line. So how do you see the difference in this one?
Yeah, I agree. I obviously LSU won the Joe Moore Award and, you know, were recognized as the best unit in the country. And I'm certainly not going to argue. I mean, they've been really, 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 really good. They've been able to weather some injury issues, some suspension issues. They've started, you know, 7 or 8 guys this year, and really at no point have they missed a beat. I did dive a little bit into offensive line. I write for AthlonSports.com some, and I was tasked with making the case for Oklahoma to win this game. And one of the things I pointed to as a point in their favor was offensive line. But, you know, then, of course, LSU's kind of the, you know, anything you can do, I can do better, because they have the offensive line award. But Oklahoma has run, you know, they've been more consistent as a rushing offense. They put up huge numbers, and some of that might be schedule, you know, strength of schedule related, but they do have some higher rushing totals.
That's the other reason. That's the other reason I can't be just a Big 12 fan, is because of those little those little comments right there. Maybe it's a Big 12 schedule, and Nick doesn't usually do them, but there's a lot of that. Well, you know, they play in the Big 12. There's no defense. I hear that.
Right. And I wouldn't say that at all. I mean, the Big 12, you know, Baylor is a good defense. Believe it or not, Oklahoma is a good defense. Mm. We'll get to that a little bit more later. But, but you know, the Oklahoma offense, especially in the first half of the year, it has slowed down just a little in the second half, but they've just been opening up huge running lanes. And, you know, that there's something to be said for that. And also, if you look at sack totals, and sack totals are it can be misleading. You want to look deeper into, you know, pressures and hurries and things like that. But Oklahoma has allowed a lower sack percentage by about half, you know, between 0.5% and 1% over LSU. And so that, you know, there's something there. If I'm going to make a case that these are two pretty comparable units, you know, that's something I would point to. And Oklahoma next year, my mind's already on 2020 in a lot of ways, as you know, but you know, this offensive line is probably going to be back at full strength, all five starters, all the depth and everything like that. It's going to be probably the best unit in the country in the preseason. So they're talented, they're good, but LSU probably a pretty slight edge, but an edge at offensive line as well.
Now, you're going to be hard-pressed to convince me that Oklahoma has the edge in anything on defense. Defensive line, linebackers, and defensive backs, I feel like all have to go towards LSU. I mean, tell me about it. Am I right on these?
Yeah, I mean, each position, LSU is better. And it's, again, the sort
LSU
of...
LSU wasn't fantastic. It's just Oklahoma was not good on defense for the majority of the year. They got better down the stretch, I feel like. But they weren't good for most of the season.
So LSU had some hiccups. They had some injury issues early. They were banged up on the defensive line. Grant Delpit was not 100%. The award-winning safety, All-American, and Thorpe Award winner at safety spent most of the first half of the year on the injury report. You know, is he 100%? Is he going to play? That sort of thing. And they were working in a true freshman starter at corner. You know, they had some other things, just they were never seemingly at full strength. And I think that impacted the numbers a little bit, but LSU still finished. They're currently at this point 26th in the country in yards allowed per play. And so they're allowing just over 5 yards per play, which is comparable to teams, who we think of as very, very strong defenses. I mean, you know, it's arguably a top 25 unit. And then from a talent perspective, there's really nothing better. I mean, the LSU in the preseason was, as far as CFP winning edge roster strength numbers, the number one defensive unit in the country. And so really nothing has changed, and I would argue that this unit is healthier now than they have been all year. So we do give an edge to LSU at all three levels. And Oklahoma, all that being said, is, you know, they've made a ton of improvement. I mean, this was one of the worst defenses in the country last year. I mean, we're talking triple digits in, you know, every major statistical category. But Oklahoma is now 41st in yards allowed per play, which, you know, is not elite by any stretch of the imagination, but they've allowed 5.29 yards per play. They're only 15 spots behind LSU. And you know, they're comparable with teams like TCU, Western Kentucky, Navy, Cal. And I would consider all of those teams to be pretty strong defenses. Have done some really, really good things defensively. And for Oklahoma statistically to be in that group, I think there's something to be said, because they're facing some pretty good offenses in the Big 12. And I think this unit has made a ton of strides, but from a depth perspective, they just don't have it compared to LSU. Pass rush took a huge hit when Ronnie Perkins was suspended for this game. So, you know, they've made a lot of strides, and they do have more talent than a lot of people would think from a roster strength standpoint. And that's where I'm talking about all our individual player ratings. We add all those up and put them into units and you know, it spits out a number. And Oklahoma, from a pure talent standpoint, as far as roster strength goes, is a top 10 defense. So they have not played like a top 10 defense, but they've played better than perhaps they get credit for.
What about when we're looking at this game straight up, LSU versus Oklahoma? I mean, the spread is double digits here. You're picking LSU to win this game, correct?
Yeah, and our numbers like LSU a lot. I mean, they're the third ranked team in our power ratings, which you know they've actually closed a pretty good gap. They started the year at number seven, and to rise up to number three, you know, some of the teams we'll talk about later are still ahead of them. But LSU, our numbers are very, very complimentary, and do have them favored to win this game by a fairly big margin, according to our numbers, but not quite as big as what the market or the odds makers would have it.
Yeah, so it's 13.5, and I believe looking the last time I looked that you have Oklahoma against the spread, and you have the under on this game. Is that correct?
I do, and so our number is LSU favored by 6.5, which that's a pretty big edge.
It is. I mean, 6.5 points is a decent edge. So I mean, you know, it's not quite a touchdown. So I don't know. It, you know, that's one break, though, the other way. But speaking of breaks, we do have to take one. So we're going to hit a break here right now, but we're going to be back to wrap up this game and talk about the Fiesta Bowl. So stick with us. I got Nick Allen from CFB Winning Edge with me. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
Light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
Hey, y'all, what up? It's Jess Hilarious, and I'm here to tell y'all that I'm launching my podcast, Carefully Reckless, on the Black Effect Network. I'm going to be telling y'all all my business and telling y'all other people's business, too. It ain't no limits to the things I talk about. Y'all know that if y'all know me. From baby mama drama to healthy relationships, from child support to stimulus checks. Look, when you take a step back and you realize that we all go through crazy stuff and we got stories to tell, those situations do not define you. But they do make for a real good conversation. In a world where clickbait and cancel culture can tell your story before you do, I'm creating an outlet to remind people that we still human crazy and we can all laugh about it. Don't stress over it. Bring your problems to me. I promise I won't judge you, but I might crack a joke or two. Don't be scared. It'll be respectful and messy at the same time. Just make sure you tune in. Listen to Carefully Reckless on January 20th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old
In This League.
Talk about www. Call me, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
Hello and welcome back. It's the last segment of Hour 1 of In This League on Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I am your host, Scott Bogman. You can find me at Bogman Sports. Check out all of our stuff at ITL. In This League, we've got you covered on football, college football, baseball, minor league baseball, basketball. We've got secret shows on our Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army. We've got all kinds of stuff. Group me rooms if you sign up to be a lieutenant or higher, where we talk about whatever sport room you want to pick. We talk about that sport all year long. Captains get every single room. It's a lot of fun over here at In This League. So check us out. With me today, I've got Nicholas Ian Allen, the owner and proprietor of CFP Winning Edge. We are talking about the Peach Bowl and just finishing it up here, just to make sure everybody heard it right. For straight up against the spread and the over-under, which, if you're looking at it, obviously the numbers at different books are a little bit slightly different. But basically, as it stands right now, LSU is a 13.5-point favorite, and the over is 76. You go with LSU straight up, Oklahoma against the spread, because you have it at 6.5, and the spread is about 13.5. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're a little bit lower on LSU than a lot of people, and a little bit higher perhaps on Oklahoma. We had Oklahoma as our preseason number three team. They were there pretty much all year almost until the Kansas State loss, and then some closer ones at the end of the year. So yeah, we're pretty high on Oklahoma. See it as a pretty close game within a touchdown. That's not to say I would be shocked if LSU ends up winning this by two touchdowns or more. Certainly could happen, especially in a high scoring game. Sometimes things can, you know, get away from one team or another. But I think these four teams, just as a playoff, are really, really fairly evenly matched. And I struggle to expect one team to beat another by two touchdowns. So, yeah, we're on Oklahoma to cover here and think that 78 points or whatever the total is a very high number. And
that's
and
a high number.
There are, two of the best offenses in the country are capable of getting up to that point. But personally, I think that these defenses maybe don't get the respect that they deserve. And I think there's a pretty good opportunity for this to be lower scoring than the market currently expects.
So let's go to the Fiesta Bowl. And the Fiesta Bowl is the better of the two games in most people's eyes, even though I think both these could wind up playing a little bit closer than we expect. But it's Clemson versus Ohio State. I was thinking about going to this one, but I didn't want to sell a kidney. So I'm here recording with you instead. So, and two kidneys. Don't know how healthy they are, but I still got two of them. But I mean, let's talk about this one, break this one down as well by position, because this one, because it's more evenly matched, I mean, all the lines that I've seen are within 2 or 3 points, usually Clemson favored by 2 points. But let's start right out at quarterback, and we have Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence had a great year, and people are going to call it a down year because it wasn't his freshman year where, you know, he won the national title and he looked amazing doing it. But he still has the opportunity to kind of put that together. So incomplete season for him so far, because if he gets two more wins, I mean, that's two national championships and two starting seasons. So pretty damn impressive. But Fields is a little banged up. So how do you break down the quarterbacks in this Clemson-Ohio State Fiesta Bowl matchup?
Yeah, just on the surface, I would say that this is an even matchup. I mean, you know, 2 years ago, these were the top two quarterback recruits, really the top two high school recruits at any position in the country. And they've really met that expectation this year. And Lawrence, of course, as you mentioned, had a huge freshman year, and Fields had to wait a little bit longer and transfer. But he's certainly proven this year that he's one of the best quarterbacks in the country. And had Fields, you know, if he was entering this game 100%, then I certainly think that this would be an even matchup. But the numbers that I keep hearing, and I think Fields is the one basically that's putting this number out there, says he's between 80 and 85% or his knee. He's got a sprained knee, playing with a knee brace, and he's been practicing with a bulky knee brace, but he will be playing with one that's a little bit lighter, a little smaller. So I don't think it's, you know, when the adrenaline's pumping and all that, and when the game starts, I think he's probably going going to play closer to 100%. But I think, you know, Lawrence is healthy. I would give him maybe a slight edge here. And in the second half of the year, Lawrence has just been absolutely incredible. I mean, pretty much since, you know, he threw two picks against Louisville in mid-October. And there was a lot of talk at that point. You know, Dabo Swinney went up to the microphone and pointed out that his, you know, his first pick was just stupid. And it was sort of out of character for what we think, you know, for what we hear much from Dabo there. But from that point on, Lawrence has been arguably the best quarterback in the country. I mean, only once has he had a game where he completed averaged lower than 10 yards per attempt. And that was against South Carolina when he, you know, threw for 295 and three touchdowns, no interceptions. He hasn't thrown a pick in the last six games. He's had at least three touchdowns in each of the last six games. And if you look at that yards per pass attempt, which is really the number one passing stat I look for in those six games. So 10 is kind of a magic number. If you're at 10, you're at an elite level. If you're able to sustain that for an entire season, that's elite. Usually three or four guys maybe get 10 yards per pass attempt for a full season. So these are the numbers Lawrence has had in the last six games: 14.5, 13.6, 10.2, 10.1, 8.2, and then 13.7 in the ACC championship against Virginia. So Lawrence has been incredible. He's been very accurate. He also hasn't completed lower than 72% in any of those six games. So he's been absolutely on fire, and he's playing better now than he was as a freshman. So he did, you know, start a little slow, but you know, that's over and done with. He's elite. He's probably, going to be the Heisman favorite next year, or, you know, maybe Fields will, but Lawrence is certainly right there. And probably, the consensus number one 2021 NFL draft pick, I would assume.
Going over to the running backs here, this is my favorite in all of these games, is Travis Etienne for Clemson and J.K. Dobbins for Ohio State. It's hard to pick a winner between these two. It might be impossible. So I'll leave that question to you to answer the impossible question. Who has the better running back in this game?
I think that they're even. I mean, I think that Travis Etienne doesn't get the respect he deserves just because
he does it all in 10 touches. Like, right. He doesn't need, they're blowing out whoever they play. So he gets like 13 touches a game or something low and ridiculous.
And I was about to say that, you know, that they have two different styles, that Etienne is just sort of a home run hitter and Dobbins is a little bit more of a physical back. But Etienne's capable of being physical as well. I mean, he's listed at 210 and he's he does run away from people, but he could run through them if he needed to. And Dobbins does run through people, but he can run away from them as well. So I think these are two of the best running backs in the country. They're so much fun to watch. I think Ohio State has a little bit of an edge in depth, but if, you know, Etienne should be full strength, he has not been worn down, I don't think, by his workload this year. So I expect him to have, to be at full speed, and he's so electric, so fun to watch. I think it's, you know, basically even. But if I were to go to, you know, the number two guy, number three guy, and down the list, if they're going to have to show a little depth at the running back position, I'd probably give Ohio State a slight edge. But basically, it's a coin flip.
The wide receivers here, for me, T. Higgins is one of my favorite college football players. He's so much fun to watch, especially on those 50-50 balls. I mean, you know, they kind of have a tradition at Clemson of guys just winning those 50-50 balls. Mike Williams was doing it for a while. Now it's T. Higgins. Deon Cain was kind of one of those type of wide receivers as well. So it's just Clemson, I feel like, has the edge. But Ohio State, they have great wideouts, but Justin Fields doesn't throw the ball as much as Trevor Lawrence does. So how do you see the wide receivers playing out in this one?
Very similarly. I think on paper, they're basically even. Though I would sort of flip things a little bit from what I said about the running back position. I think Clemson, if we go, you know, player by player and sort of dive deeper into the depth chart, I think maybe as a complete unit, I might give them a slight edge. They do have a height advantage in you know, several spots, though Benjamin Victor's listed at 6'4" for Ohio State. And so they do have, you know, they've got some really talented tight ends as well, which maybe gives them a little bit more of an edge there. But Clemson, you know, T. Higgins, you mentioned Justin Ross, who went off last year this time and has just incredible, incredible potential. Plus, Amari Rodgers is back, and he's though shorter, very physical player. It's the slightest of margins, but I might have to side with Clemson just a little bit. Both these teams have very explosive, very exciting wideouts, and Ohio State maybe a slight edge with the receiving options at tight end. Again, very, very even.
The offensive line, you know, I don't know the players as well as you do as far as the O-linemen, but I feel like Ohio State continuously has been tested by a great play up front in the Big Ten. You know, that's one of those things where, you know, Clemson not being tested as much as the other teams, you have to kind of give Ohio State credit for, you know, blowing up Wisconsin's defensive line, blowing up Michigan's defensive line and things of that nature. So I feel like Ohio State probably has to get the edge. Not saying that Clemson can't do it, but we've already seen Ohio State do it. So how do you see the offensive linemen playing between these teams?
I'm going to sound like a total broken record, but they're pretty even. And Clemson has been
very, very good. It's not surprising that you say that because it's a 2-point spread either way, you know?
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And it's, you know, there were a lot of things, a lot of similarities in different units with LSU and Oklahoma, but for the most part, there was a clear, you know, okay, this unit is, you know, 1 point better, 2 point, you know, something like that, according to our numbers. A lot of these Ohio State and Clemson individual units, they're almost the exact same rating. And that doesn't mean everything. We don't think our numbers are perfect or that they explain everything, but it just shows that on paper, these teams, you know, their strengths are the other team's strengths. And you know, I would say their weaknesses are not, but neither of these teams have any weaknesses as far as these positions go. So Clemson's got an experienced unit. They're starting 4 seniors. They've got 3 guys who are all ACC, you know, first or second team. And so a very, very strong unit. They've done some really, really good things. Ohio State, not quite as experienced as a unit, but they've got 4 guys who are all conference, either first or second team. And then just, you know, from these were the cream of the crop in a lot of ways, as far as when they were signed out of high school, highly, highly rated guys. They were able to throw in a grad transfer, Jonah Jackson, their left guard from Rutgers. He came in, was an immediate starter, helped the unit as a whole. And they're just, you know, Ohio State, maybe from a pure talent standpoint, just gives them the edge. Clemson as a unit and as an experienced group that's been together and has also performed at a very high level, very, very similar. But from a pure talent standpoint, Ohio State just a little bit better. And Ohio State was a finalist for the Joe Moore Award. There are a lot of very smart people on that committee that know so much more about offensive line play than I do. So I trust them as well. They made Ohio State a finalist, and Clemson did not make that cut. So that, you know, factors in as well in my mind and gives Ohio State a slight edge.
Going over to the defensive side, I mean, the defensive line, you got Chase Young for Ohio State, so it's almost like you have to give it to them, right?
I think so, and he's just such a special player that we've said it before on different shows that we've had together that he's the best player in college football. I certainly agree with that. He can do everything as a pass rusher. He's so explosive. He is athletic. He is strong. He's been you know, the stats have been there. We don't always see the top pass rushers because they get so much attention from the opposing offensive coordinators that, you know, they're getting double team, triple team, they're getting extra help from a tight end or a running back and things like that. But he's still been so productive, incredibly productive. Clemson's got a guy that is somewhat similar to that, Xavier Thomas. When he's been a little banged up at times this year, but he has that elite level talent potential. They've relied on a true freshman at defensive tackle this year. He's been very, very good, Tyler Davis, and they've got Clemson has talent here as well. It's in a lot of ways their strongest unit, one could argue. But Ohio State, just from a depth standpoint and from the just very, very top performance that Chase Young offers, I think you just have to go with the Buckeyes at defensive line.
Yeah, and then the linebackers and the defensive backs, before we get to the break, we got a minute and a half here. I feel like just award winners, you got Simmons and you've got Akuda, Simmons for Clemson at linebacker and Akuda for defensive back at Ohio State. Is that the way you're going on those units?
Absolutely. I mean, everything we said about Chase Young, you could say about Isaiah Simmons at Clemson. He's just been so much fun to watch. Former safety. NFL scouts are drooling over him. He's arguably the best linebacker in the country. And Okuda probably should have won the Thorpe Award. Clemson's got some great corners and they've got a lot of very talented defensive backs as well. But Ohio State, I would say LSU accepted is the best secondary in the country from a pure talent standpoint. So I would give Clemson the edge at linebacker, but Ohio State in the secondary for sure.
When we come back from the break that we're about to take, we are going to take a look at how Nick sees this game playing out, straight up against the spread on the over-under. Then we're going to talk about his potential championship matchup a little bit. And then we're going to reflect a little bit on the 2019 season and look ahead to the 2020 season as well. So stick around for that. We'll be right back after this break on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. We'll be right back with hour two of In This League on the Grid.
Hey, what's up? It's Questlove. This week on Questlove Supreme, we're getting cozy with the legend, Mariah Carey, an intimate two-part episode.
Nobody knew who I was, and they introduced me, ladies and gentlemen, Columbia recording artist, Mariah Carey. They're like, wow. But then at the end of it, the announcer, he's like, the palace now has a queen.
Listen to Questlove Supreme on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Suprema. Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.